So we're starting again. Hopefully we'll try to do this on a weekly basis to learn together Toros of Rav Nachman of Breslov. So I apologize to those who heard this over the summer, but just a little bit about Rav Nachman himself. There's a wonderful biography about the students of Rav Nachman, Rav Nassan Memorov, which is called Through Fire and Water, or Beish HaMayim, and it was published by the Breslov Research Institute. It's a very, very beautiful, beautiful book, which talks about Rav Nassan, and Rav Nassan was really the person who wrote the Torah of Rav Nachman. The first half of the Kuti Moharan, Rav Nachman himself wrote. The second half was written by Rav Nassan, by Rav Nachman's student. And one of the themes that emerges from this biography is the tremendous challenge that it was both for Rav Nachman himself and his life, and also for Rav Nassan to become the student of Rav Nachman. He suffered terribly from his family, from his wife, his children, his parnasa, his community. There was tremendous, tremendous opposition. But he felt that this is his life and this is his chiyus, and he wasn't going to give it up and he was going to go do it no matter what. It's a very, very inspiring book to read, really, in terms of getting the chazkus and the real stubbornness. And that's a big yisod when it comes to Avodas Hashem, especially learning something like Rav Nachman's Torah, or learning Kabbalah, or learning Chassidus. We have to realize that this Torah is a very powerful Torah. So when it's powerful, Zelu Maseh Asa Elokin, that Amalek, the Sitra Achra, the Yetzer Hara, those always walks in tandem with Kedusha. So as Kedusha gets stronger, the Tumah gets stronger. So without question, the Tumah is going to fight against this Torah. I was just learning a wonderful sefer called Hasar Kaf Milibecha, which is written by a Rav in Bnei Brak. His name is Rav Tubalovsky. And he wrote a likut, a collection from different sources, mostly Sifrei Musar, but also from Chazal, Tamaros, Rashim, about anger. Before he has this wonderful likut about getting rid of anger, he has a whole introduction. He talks about the importance of learning Musar. He quoted the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said that the Yetzer Hara is okay with letting a person sit and learn Gemara. Okay, a person will learn Gemara, learn the Halacha, but to learn Musar, to learn Yiras Shemayim, that the Yetzer Hara is going to fight. Because the Yetzer Hara wants to fight the things that are very potent, the things that can create a lot of Kedusha. So certainly when it comes to learning the Torah of Chassidus, or the Torah of Kabbalah, there's going to be many, many obstacles along the way, and it becomes harder as a person gets more into it, this distraction and that distraction, and this Yetzer Hara and that Yetzer Hara. But that's all the more reason to go further and to keep working at it, because this has the koach, really, of tremendous light that can really illuminate a person, inspire a person, and hopefully help us to grow in Yiras Shamayim. So first of all, I need to say what I heard many times from Rav Tzvi Meyer Zubelberg. He used to say, he says that he's not worthy to give Divrei Musar or teach in Yanim of Chassidus. He certainly is worthy, but I'm certainly not worthy. So whatever we're learning together. We're not, it's not that I'm saying this is the way to do it as if I'm doing it. We're learning together. Hopefully we'll be meschazik together, we'll grow together, and we'll all merit to have more Yiras Shamayim and Avodas Hashem and the passion to serve Hashem and to do His mitzvah. Within the world of Chassidus, Rav Nachman lived in the Ukraine and Russia. And Rav Nachman is very unique on many levels. But one of the unique elements of Rav Nachman, I heard once from Rav Wolfson. Rav Wolfson said that he heard from his teacher, Rav Shraga Feivelman Lulavitch, that Rav Nachman was the poet of Chassidus. That what other Chassidus Rebbes would explain through, let's say, in Chabad, Chabad, there's a lot of haskala, there's a lot of understanding. Chabad is built on deep toros and Kabbalah and Adam Kadmon and secrets of what does it mean, Yichud Hashem, and what is the nature of Bittul, What is the nature of nullifying oneself? In Breslov, in Rav Nachman, that was all as poetry. Now, poetry is different than prose. In prose, there is an expository writing, there is a thesis, you try to prove the thesis, you try to argue and convince somebody of something. A poet is bringing together a whole collection of images. You don't necessarily see how one idea leads to the next. You don't see how one thing is connected to the next, but there's a certain feeling, there's a certain inspiration, there's a totality that's created. And that's the Torah of Rav Nachman. The Torah of Rav Nachman is a poetry. It's a neshama dika Torah. It's a Torah which takes leaps. It's a soulful Torah. It's not necessarily the prose Torah. They say that Rav Kook said that he felt a kinship with Rav Nachman. Rav Kook, certainly, his Torah is a Torah of poetry. He wrote poetry. He was a great poet. So, with that disclaimer that I certainly don't begin to comprehend anything of Rav Nachman's neshama and his heart, which was so embedded in his Torah, that's the second disclaimer. And the third disclaimer is that whatever we'll learn, we're going to hopefully learn from tzaddikim who've taught about Rav Nachman's Toros. I was just mentioning that there's a great website, Kol HaLashon or kolhashiurim.com. On that website, they have a lot of Shiurim and Mekutim Aran. It's a very big tzaddik of Yitzchak Meir Morgenstern. He's a big Mekubal. He teaches in Shara Shemayim, and he teaches all over. He's a very big expert in Breslov Torah and in Lubavitch Torah. He has a lot of Shiurim and Mekutim Aran. I haven't had the chus of listening to them, but I'm sure they're fantastic. If anyone wants to download them, you can go to kolhashiurim.com and download those Shiurim. I've had the schuss of learning a little bit from Rav Mordechai Menashe Zilber, who is known today as the Stachina Rebbe. Rav Zilber, probably close to 60 now, his father-in-law is Rav Moshe Wolfson, the Mashgiach of Torah V'Das. He's a very, very special person himself. He is a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He's always learning. Tremendous Yerushalayim, Shmira Seinayim. He doesn't look at women. He doesn't even help his chassidim when they have questions about Shalom Bayis or about dating, who to marry. He doesn't deal with those issues. It's really a throwback to an earlier era of tremendous Kedusha. I had the chus this summer of traveling to Eretz Yisrael. He was on our flight, and he was Shomer Einav the whole flight. He came on in the airport. He had a group of chassidim around him so that he didn't have to look at anything. And his glasses were off and his eyes were closed. And on the flight, he sat in a corner, his son next to him, and he listened to Shiurim the whole flight. And whenever he had to get up, the son would make sure the aisle was clear, and then he would walk down the aisle with his head down. And really, Shomer Einayim, really a tremendous, tremendous person. So he teaches in Borough Park. He gives a shiur every Thursday night in Tanya. Recently they've been doing the Tzilas Yisharim. And Wednesday night, for many years he was doing the Kutim Maharan. Now he's doing the Torah of the Dinever Rebbe, the Agra Zakala. Then he other sefer. He has many other sefer. One of them is Agra Zakala. But he's given over the course of the last few decades, I would say, 15 to 20 years, he's given hundreds and hundreds of Shiurim on the Kutim Aran. So we'll learn some of his Toros on the Kutim Aran. If you want to pick up a copy of it, it's this booklet. You can get it at the shul in the shul on 54th Street between 14th and 15th. They also have a Mahon, an institute to the spreading of the Torah of the Rebbe. You can get on a weekly basis an email or a fax of the shiur that's written up. It's at toldusyehuda@yeshivanet.com or yeshivanet.net. Get the email for you later. And you can send to the Mahon. You can say, I want to get the Shiurim of the Rebbe on Mekutim Aran. I'm sure they'll be happy to send it to you. You can order it from them. So hopefully we'll learn from his Torah. So we'll start together with Torah Chaf Zayin. Reb Nachman takes a line from the Gemara, which he's going to reinterpret at the very end of the Torah. So it sees the Gemara of the Usa. The Gemara says a chick that dies in its shell. Heicha nafik rucha. Where does the spirit go? So Amaluhu, he sets him behind the al. Same way it came in, that's the way it goes out. That's what the Gemara says. Reb Nachman's going to reinterpret all of these words. Reb Nachman starts as follows: Kivim shalchas kala olam la'avodaso la'avdo shchem echad. For to pull everyone to the service of Hashem, to serve Him as one. V'chulam yashlichu elilei kasmam zahavam. Everyone should throw away their idols of silver and gold. Yisfalu el Hashem yisbarach levad, and to pray only to God. Ze'adavar nasa b'chol dor v'dor. This occurs in every generation. Lefi ha-shalom shebedor, according to the amount of peace that there is in the generation. Ki al yidei ha-shalom sheyesh ben bnei ha-adam, through the peace that there is among people. Ve'heim chokrim u'mazbirim zel hazeh ha-emes. And then they investigate and explain to each other the truth. Al yidei zeh mashlich kol ish sheker alilei kasbo. Each person throws away the lies of the idols of his gold. Gets closer to truth. So this is not something I heard from the Rebbe, but just reading this passage reminded me of a famous story that Reb Nachman has. And that's the story of the Baal Tzivah. Nachman was a tremendous storyteller, and his stories are really great Torahs, really commentaries about life and about the Kabbalah. Reb Nachman has a story which is called the story of the Baal Tzivah. Nachman says that there was a person who was being makariv people. He was a Baal Tzivah. He was the Rebbe. He was the Chazan. He was a tremendous mespalel. He would daven, he would cry, and he would be heartfelt, and his whole heart would be poured out in his tefillos, and people would hear his tefillos, and they'd get inspired, and they would daven, and they would start to realize what the purpose of life is. The purpose of life is to do mitzvot, to serve Hashem, to reveal that really here down in this physical world Hashem is found, and that there's Kedusha in the world, and Hashem is found everywhere, and it's not a physical world, and it's a godly world, and really there's holiness everywhere. And he was being makar of people. So he was going from country to country, and he'd go to a place, he would go and start davening, and the young people would be attracted, and the people who are sort of on the margins of society would be attracted, and they'd suddenly stop running to make money and stop running with all of the nonsense that we run after, and they'd be focused on davening and doing mitzvahs and getting closer to Hashem, and they'd become his talmidim. He was going from place to place. The people were afraid of the Baal Tzivah. They were afraid he's going to come to their town, he's going to take away their kids. Their kids are going to flip out, and they're going to become all religious and into Torah and mitzvah. So they wanted to keep the Baal Tzivah away. And they made rules that if you see the Baal Tzivah, you know, we're going to catch him, we're going to throw him into jail. And the Baal Tzivah was very sharp, and so he came disguised as a peasant, as if he's interested in business and this and that. And then we'd start talking to people, and he'd say, what are you interested in? This is just nonsense. This is meaningless. You have to be interested in Hashem, and don't waste your life with these meaningless things. Be focused on serving Hashem and doing mitzvot. And in this way, he would bring people closer back to Hashem. So there was a country which was very wealthy. This country, which was very wealthy, decided that they didn't want to be around poor people. So they didn't want to have to give away their money. They always wanted to enjoy their money. They decided to move out to another area, just rich people. They moved to an area of just the rich people, and they were very into money, and they were so excited about money, and they were interested in money. They decided that if a person is very, very rich, that he's important. But he's not as rich, he's less important. But they wanted to really create a whole culture of money and collecting and having more and more and more. And it's not enough just to say somebody who's rich is very important. What's the most important thing possible? God. Somebody who's very, very, very rich, he is God. Or he's a God. Someone who's never very, very, very poor, but he's the opposite of what's really important, but he's an animal, not even human. They're humans. And then there are people who are very rich, they are already ministers, and people even more rich are kings, and people who are more rich are angels, and people who are more rich are gods. And they created this whole society that the richer a person is, the greater he is, eventually to the level of a person who's extremely rich, he's a god. And they started worshipping the people who are gods, and of course when you worship God, you have to knock of karbanos. So they would take the people who are behemos and chayos and be shech them to be makuv them to the gods. And they were worshipping the gods. This was a country where they worshipped money, where that was the religion. The religion was money. The Baal Tzila heard about this country. They hated the Baal Tzila. Yeah, they hated the Baal Tzila. When the Baal Tzila heard about this country, he said, ay, 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 Nebuch, they're so far, they're so distant, they're completely lost. So this country eventually was under attack. They were worried. They heard there was a general coming who was conquering place after place. The Baal Tzila came, and the Baal Tzila explained to them the whole story. There was once a king, and the king had amazing ministers around him. He had a very wise man, and he had a very wise treasurer, and he had an excellent artist, and he had the greatest foreign minister. And then there was a big storm. When there was a big storm, everyone was separated. And the very beautiful princess ended up in a country where they admire beauty. And the very powerful treasurer ended up in this country where they admire wealth. And all these different ministers were separated from the king, and in these different countries they made false cultures to run after the wrong things. And that's why the general now is coming to conquer them and bring them back all under the rule of the king. The Baal Tzila, he has a relationship with the king. He'll help them get back to the king. And he's going to teach them how to get rid of this nonsense of worshipping wealth. He teaches them how to get rid of it, and he brings them back to the king. So basically, the basic thought of the story, obviously, is that Rav Nachman is referring to the lesson of the Shira HaKelim, that the Bria was where Hashem initially, at the very beginning of the Bria, there was a reality of everyone or everything was aware of Hashem, was aware that Hashem was everything. But that type of an awareness doesn't allow for the Bria that we know of. The Bria that we know of is a creation where it seems that there is something distinct of Hashem. For example, a person thinks, oh, I can make decisions, or I can do things, or this table seems to be a table. It's not part of the great Or Ein Sof. It's not part of Hashem. So it seems to be a world of Gvul. How did the world of Gvul come about? So that's what the Ari said, that Hashem was Mitzamtzem himself. Hashem drew into himself. And then into that empty space, he made Kalim, he made vessels. And he filled the kalim with the Or Ein Sof. He filled the kalim with his light. But the kalim weren't sharing the light. So the kalim shattered. The kalim broke. And now it's hard to see that these are kalim of Hashem. It's hard to see the Or of Hashem in these kalim. The kalim broke. So what does that mean? What that means is there was a reality where it was easy to see how a prince or a general was serving Hashem. A general is a kalim. It's a vessel. That the general fights a war of l'shem Hashem, and that a minister of treasury is there to create a lot of jobs for people, and that's to help people work, and it's to give them a staka, the greatest staka, and he's serving Hashem. There was a world where everything was clearly revealing Hashem, but that shattered. That world shattered. There was a storm, and everything scattered. All of these different ministers scattered, and you fall to a lower level, and this lower level is the physical world, the world of Gevulin. In this physical world, unfortunately, people, instead of worshipping Hashem, they take what the Keli was, what the vessel was, and they create a whole ideology around this vessel. So, for example, let's say there's a vessel of Chesed. Chesed is a way to reach Hashem. But unfortunately, sometimes people create a religion. The religion is Chesed. I was hearing from Rav Moshe Shapiro, also a shir that I downloaded from Kol HaLashon. So he said, communists try to make a religion of such a religion. Everybody's going to have everything. What a disaster. What a disaster. It didn't work. The only real religion that works is the religion of serving Hashem. But the religion of communism, no Hashem, but just everybody having everything. It didn't work at all. It was a Gehenim on earth. It was a terrible, terrible Gehenim. So that's what Rav Nachman is saying. Rav Nachman says that there was a Shviras HaKelim, there was a shattering of the vessel. Different places within the world are now lost within these wrong type of ideologies. So the Greeks worshipped beauty. That's one type of wrong ideology. And the Romans worshipped power. And then Rav Nachman says that the worst country, or the most difficult country to break, is the country where they worship money, where the religion is money, where the only person who's important is the person who has a lot of money, and the person who's poor, meaningless. That, Rav Nachman is saying, is the worst klipa. That's the hardest to break. And the Baal Tzvila, he breaks it. He breaks that. He says, that's not what life's all about. Life's not about collecting money. Money is not everything in life. Money is not something somebody can take to the next world. As the Gemara says in Baba Vasa that we're learning, that Munbaz HaMelech was giving away a lot of money to Tzedakah. So his relatives said, your father built a big bank account. You're giving away the money. He said, I'm building a big bank account in Shemayim. My father built a bank account on earth. I'm building a bank account in Shemayim. But the real way to live life is to do mitzvot, to help people, and to do chesed, and to serve Hashem, and to daven. And that's the real purpose. That the money is not the purpose. It's not the be-all. It's not the end-all. It's just the means. But that's a very difficult klipa. It's very hard to shatter that klipa, that avodah zarah. Nachman says, Lim sholchus kol ha'olam la'avodasa, to get the whole world to serve Hashem, to get the whole world to be davening. Avodah Hashem, what is avodah shebelev? Zu tefila, to get the whole world to have tefila. V'kulam yashlichu elilei kasam zahavam, that everyone should get rid of their idols. And what are the idols? What are the gods? The gods is my money, my silver, my gold. V'yispalu el Hashem yizbarach levad, and I should daven to Hashem. I should realize Hashem is my only help. My money's not going to help me. Hashem's going to help me. Only Hashem can help me. So Zadavar, this avoda, to break the egel azav of our generation, this avoda, nasa b'chol dor v'dor l'fi hashalom shebedor. Nachman here teaches that the way to break the false ideology, the great klipa of tavas mamon, the great aveira of the egel azav, of worshipping money, the way to break that is done through the emes, the truth. The truth wipes it out. Truth says, okay, that's just not the truth. It's not the emet. How do you get to truth? You get to truth through shalom. You get to truth through shalom. If there's shalom, if there's peace among people, then heim chokrim umazbirim zelazeha emet. People explain to each other the emet. Then everyone will throw away the false god. Obviously to worship money is a false god. That's a falsehood. It's nonsense. The person gets closer to the emes. So Nachman says that shalom brings to emes. So the Shina Rabbi here explains. Let's first understand this, the pasht. Shalom brings to emes. Truth is, let's say shalom is that we get along with each other. So as Nachman says, if I get along with other people, I'll listen to other people. I'll hear from other people. And then I'm open to ideas. So often there's so many great ideas that I'm not willing to accept because of lack of shalom. Politics. Somebody is a Democrat. He's a Democrat, so he has to be a Democrat. That's how he became elected, because he was a Democrat. But maybe a Republican has a good idea. Maybe a Republican has an idea that can help the government. No, came from a Republican, it's no good. No good. Came from a Republican, it's no good. It's nonsense. There's so many good ideas that people can come up with. But because there's machlokas really means chelek, each one has his group, my group, it's his group, I can't hear it from him. That I can't hear from. There are all sorts of good things that a person could get, that because of real nonsense, because I have to be part of my group, I'm not willing to hear. So the MS is obscured because of lack of shalom. If there'd be shalom, if I'd get along with everybody, I'd be friendly to the Republicans and to the Democrats, and open, I'd get along with him, I'd get along with her. And then this person has a good idea, so I'll learn from the idea, I'll accept the truth as it is. The lack of shalom doesn't allow us to be makabel the emes. Lack of shalom causes us not to see the emes. The Rebbe gave a funny example. He said, Chassidim say that a karav is nishkin chassid, that a relative is never going to be a chassid. Let's say there's a big tzaddik, a bishol bal shem tov. So if we sell Baal Shem Tov's nephew, he's going to say, I'm going to be a chassid of my uncle. He's my uncle. I mean, I saw him eat with his kids. I'm going to be a chassid of his. So the Rebbe said, what nonsense. You know, here is somebody who could bring a person into Gan Eden, can inspire somebody, can guide someone. No, I'm not going to learn from him because, whatever, I saw him once playing with his kids. What a silliness. These are the types of nonsenses that also make their way into MS. There's a lot of MS, and I don't want to accept the MS because of who's saying the MS. The whole point of the MS is to get rid of this nonsense. Sometimes you hear a group of people that say, oh, I'm against something. Why are you against it? Because of how it was decided. The process was terrible. What nonsense? What about the Zach? What about the thing? Is it a good thing? If it's a good thing, be pro it. Who cares how it came? Kabbalah sa emes mimisha amaro. The nature of emes is that the emes should be accepted because it's the emes. So it's not my group, it's not my political party, it's not my idea, so what? But it's the emes. But if there's a lack of shalom, I'm only with my group, and I'm not willing to accept the emes that it comes from another group, because I have to be with my group. But Nachman says, first of all, we should have shalom. If we have shalom, if we get along with everybody, then we will get to the emes. We'll get to the truth, because we'll hear the truth from other people. But there's even a deeper inyan here. That is, Alpi Kabbalah, Yaakov Avinu, he is the Nida of Emes. Pasuk says, Titein Emes Yaakov. Give Emes to Yaakov. According to Kabbalah, Yaakov Avinu is the Nida of Tiferes. The Nida of Tiferes, Yaakov was a Merkava. Yaakov revealed a great holiness, a holiness which is called HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nida of Tiferes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Levush of Tiferes was revealed by Yaakov Avinu. Yosef HaTzadik is the Nida of Shalom. Yosef is Shalom. Yaakov is Emes. Yosef is Shalom. Yaakov is Tiferes. Yosef is Yesod. In the picture, or the diagram that the Ari writes in Otzos Chaim of the Midos, the different spheros. So the Midos of Tiferes is in the center, Chesed is on the right, Gur is on the left, Tiferes is in the center, Netzach is again on the right, Hod is on the left, and Yesod is again in the center. Yesod, the Midos of Yosef, is under, and it's a Hemshech, it's a sort of a new revelation of the Nida of Yaakov. Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. Rashi says, Masha Irali Yaakov, Irali Yosef. What happened to Yaakov happened to Yosef. Ki ben zekunim hulo, he was the son of old age. Ziv ikunin shalo, doma l'shal avin. Yosef looked like Yaakov. Yaakov was away from his father for 22 years. Yosef was away from his father for 22 years. Yaakov was hated by his brother. Yosef was hated by his brother. Yosef is a continuation of Yaakov, another iteration of Yaakov, another form, as it were, of Yaakov, in a different level. So Yaakov is the Nida of Emes. Yosef is the Nida of Shalom. Through Shalom, a person gets back. Through Shalom, one gets back to the Emes. Nachman says that through Yesod, a person rises up to the Emes, to the Tiferes, to the Shmiras HaBris, which is what Yosef HaTzadik represents, to the great Shalom, Shalom between the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. That's how a person ultimately comes to the Emes, to the great truth. So, in practical means, it means we need to work on shalom. We want to be people of MS. We need to work to be people of shalom. We need to get along with others, be friendly to others, make shalom with others, to be people of shalom, people of peace. People of peace arrive at the MS. They come to the truth. They come to Hashem's truth. The year of Nachman now goes further here. Ef shalavu l'b'china shalom ela al yidei ha'aras panim. The only way to get to shalom is through a face which is happy, smiling, glowing. If I'm upset, I'm not going to get along with the person next to me. If I come home chas v'shalom upset, I'm going to get into a fight with somebody. That's the way it is. If a person's frustrated, he's upset, going to get into a fight. He's not going to have shalom. To have shalom, we need to be in a good mood. When people are in a good mood, they get along. Hadras panim. Zehu. So that's the meaning of the pasuk. Hayav o Yaakov shalem. Ir Shechem. Is arus v'shal b'chinas. Levado Shechem echa. Levado Shechem echa. To get to the level of Shechem. Everybody serving Hashem with one shoulder. Yaakov, Yaakov is trying to get to that Shechem Echad. Everybody serving Hashem. Who al yidei shalom. That's through shalom, through peace. To shalom, al yidei b'chinas Yaakov. And how do you get to shalom? You get to shalom through Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov hu ha'aras panim. Yaakov Avinu is a shining face. How do we know that? First of all, the Gemara says, Shufrei di Yaakov came Shufrei di Adam. The beauty of Yaakov's face was like the beauty of Adam HaRishon. And even more so, in Maaseh Merkava, in Yechezkel, when Yechezkel talks about the Hashem's chariot, Yechezkel says that on top of the chariot is a Dmus Adam. It's an image of a person or a tzurato shel adam chakuka b'kisvei hakavod. There is an image of a man engraved on the throne of glory. And who is that man? Yaakov Avinu. That's the famous medrash. Yinei malachi elokim olim v'yardim bo. The angels of Rashi, I think, quotes it. The angels of Hashem were climbing up and going down the ladder when Yaakov was dreaming when he left in the beginning of Parshas Vayetzei. So they're going down, they see Yaakov, they go up to the Kisei HaKavod, they see Yaakov on the Kisei HaKavod, they go down. Is that the same person we saw? They go down, they see Yaakov, they go back up. All in the yards and bow, they're going down to look at Yaakov. Yaakov is the ultimate face, the ultimate shining face, the ultimate optimist, the ultimate happy person, Yaakov Avinu. So the Nachman says, Vayav o Yaakov, you have the Yaakov, the happy shining face, the godly face, happy, smiling, upbeat, shalem, that brings shalom, that brings peace. That comes el yir shchem, that comes and makes a shchem echad, that comes that everybody can get along and serve Hashem. The emes will come out and break the false idols and bring everyone back to serving Hashem through shalom, through everyone getting along. We work on shalom to get along, to be friendly, be nice to people, to be optimistic, upbeat, everything in a good way, with a good feeling. So if you have shalom, then we're open to the MS. Shalom is really the midah of Yosef HaTzadik. If you have the midah of Yosef HaTzadik, of shalom, we'll get to the MS. Yosef is the great Os HaShalom. Look at what he does to his brother. That's a big yisod. Shalom comes from a position of strength. Who has to make shalom? The person who's stronger has to make shalom and give in to the person who's weaker. I was listening to another shir off of Kala Lashon from Rav Reuven Leuchter. He's a very big Talmud of Rav Volbi. So he said that there's a letter that was written by Rav Zelvel. Rav Zelvel was the son of the Alter of Kelim. The Alter of Kelim was Reb Simcha Zissel Ziv, and his son was Reb Nassan Reb Nassan Zev Ziv. He was a very big businessman, And he was also a very big Baal Musar. Spent hours and hours. He wrote a letter once about a machlokes. He said, Hashem put the neshama in the guf. That's the biggest machlokes. The biggest machlokes is the machlokes between the neshama and the guf. The guf wants me to say Lashon Hara, to have bad midos. The neshama wants me to learn Torah, to do mitzvot, to be an Eved Hashem. That's the biggest machlokas. The biggest two groups is the machlokas between the neshama and the guf. So Belville wrote, he said, who makes shalom? The person who's stronger has to make shalom. The neshama, which is stronger than the guf, has to make shalom with the guf. The stronger being has to make shalom. Yosef HaTzadik, he makes shalom. The brothers come to him and they say, our father told us before he died that you should forgive us and you shouldn't be upset that we sold you as a slave. And Yosef HaTzadik says, you thought it was bad? Elokim chashava l'tova, l'hachayos hamrav, it was a bracha, it was good. Hashem sent me here to keep everybody alive. Yosef is the needs of shalom. Yosef is the needs of shalom. Yosef resembles Yaakov. From the needs of Shalom, you rise up to the needs of Emes. From the needs of Shalom between the Nesham and the Guf, Yosef makes Shalom between the Nesham and the Guf. That's really the deeper meaning of Shmiras Habris. Shmiras Habris is to reach a level where the Nesham and the Guf are in a state of Shalom with each other. The Zohar says that Yisod is called Tzadik. Tzadik is man the achid b'shmayu ba'ara, one who is achuz, who is attached in heaven and on earth, that there is peace between the heavenly and the earthly. He can be completely on earth because he's so deeply attached, so strongly attached to what's in heaven, he can be all the way down on earth and he won't be dragged down by it. That's the tzadik, that's Yosef. So through shalom, you get to emes. And the remes to this is that Yaakov Avinu, through the ha'aras panim, through the hadras panim, through the warmth, he comes into, he gets to shalom, and then from shalom you get to shchem echad, you get to the level of everybody ba'achdus, serving Hashem, davening to Hashem. That's the real emes, the real truth in life. The truth of life is to serve Hashem, to daven with kavana. That will be arrived at through the ha'aras panim, through the shining face, which is the good feelings and the shalom. The hadras panim zeh b'chinas drushi atzal. Nachman says, hadras panim, that comes through drushos. Shatorah nidreshes, b'shlosh esrei midos. Torah is interpreted through 13 midos. Torah is interpreted in 13 midos. The Zohar speaks of Hashem kiviyachol, not that this is to be taken literally, chas v'shalom v'chas v'chalila. The Zohar speaks of kiviyachol body parts representing ideas about Hashem. So just like in the Torah you have yimincha Hashem ne'adari v'koach, your right hand Hashem is filled with strength. Mincha Hashem Tiras Oyeh, where you have the pasuk the Haron Apo, the rage of his nostrils, Yom Zam, day of God's anger. Not that Hashem has anger, not that Hashem has nostrils, not that he has arms, but this is what is we have in the Torah, anthropomorphism, where Hashem is given or Hashem is described with physical characteristics because these characteristics represent things. So the right hand certainly represents Hashem's midas ha-chesed. Hashem's nostrils, a different thing that it represents. So there is, the Zohar talks about the tikkunei dikna, that the beard, kivayachol, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has 13 points. Yud gimel tikkunei dikna, 13 points within the beard. This is why, just as an aside, this is why chassidim grow beards. It's to remind them of the Dikna Kadisha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol Midas HaChesed. Now, what else should remind us right away of 13? 13 Midos of Racham, Yud Gimel Midos Shel Racham. And so there's a, on a very basic, simple level, we think of a really loving being, we think of a grandfather. A grandfather really loves his grandchildren. A grandchild can do no wrong in the eyes of a grandfather. Grandfather has a long white beard. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is not only our father, Avinu Malkeinu, Savenu Malkeinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is called Arich, or he's called Atik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a grandfather who loves us. Yudkim Umidos HaRachamim, the 13 attributes of Rachamim, these are represented by the Yud Gimel Tikkunei Dikna. These Yud Gimel, these 13 points of the Dikna Kadisha, of the holy Midos, they are represented, or they are expressed in the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, the 13 attributes of Rachamim. Rav Nachman says, is a famous idea. There are also Yud Gimel Midos Shatorah Nidreshes Bahen, 13 Midos, 13 ways of interpreting text, whether it be Kal V'Chomer or Gzei Rashava or Klal U'Prat U'Klal, Ribui Miyutzi V'Ribui, Klal U'Prat, Prat U'Klal, or what we say, the Brayta Rabbi Shmuel Omer. These Yud Gimel Midos Shatorah Nidreshes Bahen are really a merkava for the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Each one of the Midos Shatorah Nidreshes Bahen is connected to one of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. So this is the Hadras Panim. Hadras Panim, to be in a good mood, you know, if we would live the life like the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, the person's in a great mood. Toma Dvora dedicates the first chapter of Toma Dvora how a person can emulate the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Just the first one. He takes it not from the Psukim in Kisisa, he takes the Psukim in Micha, the first one, Miel Kamocha. Talmud Torah explains, Miel Kamocha means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech Ne'elav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly humiliated. He's offended. Here Hashem gave me life, and I just used my mouth to say Lashon Hara. Or as we say in Tzilas Zaka, I use my eyes to look at Maros Asuros. Right? So Hashem should take away the sight from my eyes. He should take away the power of speech from my tongue. I'm misusing it. Imagine if there's a king, and he says, you know what? I'm in a good mood. Everyone can come into my kingdom. They can come into my palace. They can take things from my treasury. The people come in, they start taking guns, they start shooting at the king's palace. The king would say, one second, you know, that's how you repay my kindness? I'm going to go after you. But that's what we do to Hashem. Hashem gives me life, and I use the life that Hashem gives me, whether in my eyes, or in my mouth, or in my hands, or in my stomach, and I misuse it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, Zev, I'll give you some more. I'll give you more life. I'll give you another chance to do tshuva. The Melech Ne'elav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so humiliated. And yet Hashem keeps giving and giving. This is the first of the Midas HaRachamim. So if a person's going to live with the Midas HaRachamim, he'll be in a good mood. Whatever the person does to me, I'm not going to be upset. Hashem's not upset with me. How can I be upset at this person? I did this person a favor. They then went and they harmed me with the favor that I did for them. I should keep doing them favors. So that's Haras Panim. That's a shining face. So the drashos of Torah, also correspond to the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. So if Nachman says, through the Drushei Torah, Shadzhoron addresses the Shlosh Eshei Mido. Hanim Shachim Yudimul Tikkuni Tikna. They also come from the 13 Tikkuni Tikna. Mipchinas Hadras Panim. That's the level of Hadras Panim. That creates the Hadras Panim. This is the idea of Hadarta Pnei Zakein. Zakein is also a Zakan, a beard. Hadarta Pnei Zakein. The beard, Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, Yud Gimel Drashos, that creates the Hadras Panim. So if you have a Talmud Chacham who learns Torah Lishma, learns Torah, and through the learning of Torah, is Megala, is revealing the Drashos, the Torah Nidreshes Behen, so he's Zoche, the Hadras Panim. He's Zoche to a tremendous Hadras Panim. And through that Hadras Panim, he has Shalom. He can create Shalom. Create Shalom, he gets to the MS. He gets to the point where everyone will be devoted to serving Hashem. Realize you shouldn't worship Yavodah Zarah, silver, gold. stock options, and all the other different avodah zaros of our generation. On the contrary, we should worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should daven to Hashem, b'tachon Hashem, reliance on Hashem, b'chakol, yadcha nasatolanu, everything really comes from Him, He gives to us, and that's our avodah. So that's Hashem. We'll continue next week with some more.